Let's read together the third epistle of John. In John's third epistle, we have the commendation of a Christian brother named Gaius and the denunciation of a man named Diotrephes. 3 John, beginning at verse 1. The elder, to the beloved Gaius, whom I love in truth. Beloved, I pray that you may prosper in all things and be in health, just as your soul prospers. For I rejoice greatly when brethren came and testified of the truth that is in you, just as you walk in the truth. I have no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in truth. Beloved, you do faithfully whatever you do for the brethren and for strangers, who have borne witness of your love before the church. If you send them forward on their journey in a manner worthy of God, you will do well, because they went forth for his name's sake, taking nothing from the Gentiles. We therefore ought to receive such, that we may become fellow workers for the truth. I wrote to the church, but Diotrephes, who loves to have the preeminence among them, does not receive us. Therefore, if I come, I will call to mind his deeds, which he does, prating against us with malicious words. And not content with that, he himself does not receive the brethren, and forbids those who wish to, putting them out of the church. Beloved, do not imitate what is evil, but what is good. He who does good is of God, but he who does evil has not seen God. Demetrius has a good testimony from all, and from the truth itself. And we also bear witness that you know that our testimony is true. I had many things to write, but I do not wish to write to you with pen and ink. But I hope to see you shortly, and we shall speak face to face. Peace to you. Our friends greet you. Greet the friends by name. Let's consider some background notes for the third epistle of John. Third John, like 1st and 2nd John, was written by the Apostle John from Ephesus, we believe, between the years 90 and 95 AD. Now, 3rd John is the shortest of the three epistles. In fact, 3rd John is the shortest book in the New Testament. Now, wait a minute, you say. 2nd John is only 13 verses, and 3rd John is 14 verses. So, 2nd John must be the shortest book, right? No. 3rd John is one line shorter than 2nd John in the Greek language. And remember, there were no verses in the original. In verse 1, the Apostle John refers to himself as the elder, the same as he does in 2 John. Remember, the term elder can refer to both age and spiritual position. 3 John, as we see, is a personal letter written to Gaius, a Christian who is highly commended in this letter. Now, there is a Gaius mentioned in Romans 16 and a Gaius mentioned in Acts chapter 20. We don't know whether they are all the same Gaius or not. In 2 John, we learn that believers should not show hospitality to false teachers. Now here in 3 John, we learn that believers should show hospitality to true teachers of the Word of God. In the early church, there were traveling evangelists and teachers. Believers were expected to show hospitality to these itinerant servants of the Lord. It would seem that the Demetrius here of verse 12 was one of these traveling preachers. He may have even carried this epistle to Gaius. Notice John's commendation of this beloved brother Demetrius in verse 12. Demetrius has a good testimony from all and from the truth itself, and we also bear witness, and you know that our testimony is true. Let me ask you this morning, would your fellow believers write you a recommendation like this? Or would they have to add a few negatives, such as, well, he's a Christian, but he doesn't show up that often. Or she only comes out on Sunday. Or he never helps with the work that needs to be done. Or she never volunteers for anything. Nothing negative could be said about Demetrius. What a testimony. You know, in Acts chapter 19, we read of a silversmith from Ephesus named Demetrius. He was not a believer. In fact, he organized opposition against Paul. So the Demetrius of 3 John is probably not the same Demetrius. However, Just suppose it is the same Demetrius. Maybe he got saved. We don't know for sure. Wouldn't it be great in heaven to find out that the pagan Demetrius of Acts 19 became the beloved Christian brother Demetrius of 3 John? What a great story that would be. Well, so much for background for 3 John. Let's move now to our doctrinal teaching points for the third epistle of John. Doctrinal point number one. Believers should imitate the godly example of Gaius. Believers should imitate the godly example of Gaius. On the basis of verse 4, Gaius may have been a convert of the Apostle John. Verse 4 once again. I have no greater joy than to hear that my children, that is, my spiritual children, walk in truth. By the way, there's no greater joy in life than this. Seeing your children go on in the things of the Lord. Your spiritual children, those that you have discipled, and your natural children as well. No greater joy to see them walking in the truth, going on in the things of the Lord. Gaius had a good testimony from his fellow believers. Look at verse 3. For I rejoiced greatly when brethren came and testified of the truth that is in you, just as you walk in the truth. And verses 5 and 6, beloved, you do faithfully whatever you do for the brethren and for strangers who have borne witness of your love before the church. Gaius showed Christian hospitality to the traveling evangelists. Again, the end of verse 6, if you send them forward on their journey in a manner worthy of God, you do well. Gaius showed Christian hospitality to the traveling evangelists and teachers of the first century, and help them on their way. And that would have included financial help. Gaius did this for the Lord's servants that he knew, and also, as we see here, also for strangers. That is, Christians that he didn't know personally. What a great testimony. Do we imitate the godly model, the godly example of Gaius? How do you respond when you hear about the needs of fellow believers, whether we know them personally or not? Are we willing to share? Are we willing to open our home? Notice from verse 7 that the traveling evangelists and teachers that Gaius was supporting were not TV evangelists or preachers with money-making schemes. No. These were humble men of God who went forth at the Lord's direction and for the Lord's sake. They were not in it for self-glory or for making money as some are today. Verse 7 says that they took nothing from the Gentiles. That is, they took no financial support from unbelievers. Now that brings up a question for today, doesn't it? Should a Christian worker or Christian ministry ever receive funds from secular sources today? What about a Christian college receiving aid from the government? Answer, in general, the Lord's people should support the Lord's work. Now, there may be some special situations, but in any and every case, Christian organizations involved in fundraising and receiving gifts should exercise great caution and avoid binding agreements and deals with strings attached and questionable gifts. That's for sure. And all believers should share and imitate the godly example of Gaius. Doctrine point number two. Believers should not imitate the ungodly example of Diotrephes. Believers should not imitate the ungodly example of Diotrephes. Verses 9 and 10. I wrote to the church, but Diotrephes, who loves to have the preeminence among them, does not receive us. Therefore, if I come, I will call to mind his deeds, which he does, prating against us with malicious words. And not content with that, he himself does not receive the brethren and forbids those who wish to, putting them out of the church. Diotrephes had an exaggerated opinion of himself and of his own importance. He was a power-hungry Christian who wanted to call all the shots. And he made himself the leader of the church he attended. And any fellow believer that got in his way, He slandered and excommunicated. You know any Diotrephes in the church today? Diotrephes did not only not receive the traveling servants of the Lord himself, but he took those who did help the Lord's servants and put them out of the church. Diotrephes couldn't bear to have someone else getting any of the limelight. He was an ungodly, micromanaging control freak, consumed with the sins of pride and jealousy. There are Diotrephes in the church today, and God himself will deal with them if they put themselves above church discipline. Verse 11 may be an indication that Diotrephes was not even a believer. Beloved, do not imitate what is evil, but what is good. He who does good, like Gaius, is of God. But he who does evil, like Diotrephes, has not seen God. So it is possible that Diotrephes was not a Christian. And it is possible for unbelievers today to work their way into leadership positions in the church. So we need to be on guard. Believers should not imitate the ungodly example of Diotrephes. Now, what about practical application from 3 John? Would you want 3 John 2 prayed for you? Would you want 3 John 2 prayed for you? Look at verse 2. Beloved, I pray that you may prosper in all things and be in health, just as your soul prospers. The Apostle John here is praying for the physical health and well-being of Gaius. He is not praying that Gaius will become a wealthy Christian, by the way. There are Christians who have pulled this verse out of context and made it a proof text for, hey, the Lord wants you to be a wealthy and healthy Christian. Now, the context here is the physical health and well-being of Gaius. Apparently, Gaius may have been sick. All right, now back to our practical application here. Would you want 3 John 2 prayed for you? Now, at first, you might say, oh, yes, I'd love to have people praying verse 2 for me. But look at the verse again. That you may prosper and be in health just as your soul prospers. How does your soul prosper? How is your spiritual well-being? Now, do you really want your physical health and physical well-being to prosper according to the state of your spiritual health? If you say yes, you may end up in a hospital or worse. We need to ask ourselves, well, you know, what is my spiritual state? Everybody see the practical application here? Gaius was in good spiritual shape. He was walking in the truth. He was a beloved Christian brother. He was following the Lord, serving the Lord, helping others, sharing, and so forth. He was in good spiritual shape. So the Apostle John could truthfully pray, may you prosper and be in health just as your soul prospers. But what about us? Would you want 3 John 2 prayed for you?